The Postcast, brought to you by Boyle Sports. Best odds guaranteed, available the day before racing on singles, multiples, online and in shop. Time to switch? Boyle Sports. This is betting.
Hi there, welcome along. It's the Racing Post Weekend Postcast in association with Boyles. I'm Bruce Millington, and joining me to preview a really fantastic weekend for flat and jumps fans are Robbie Wilders and David Jennings from the Racing Post and from Boyle Sports, their super shrewd trader, Pordy Hassett. So it's Guineas Day on Saturday, the moment of truth for Native Trail. We'll find out whether the lads are with or against the potential Godolphin superstar. We've got three other races from there, all on ITV. There's two other supporting races on the ITV card, one from Thirsk and one from Goodwood. We've got the final day of the Punchestown Festival, two grade one races to look ahead to there. And then on Sunday, of course, it's the 1,000 guineas. So tons and tons to get through. Grab a pen and paper. We will start with the 150 at Newmarket on Saturday, which is I've got some long titles today, My Odds Boost on Betfair Handicap. That's not too bad. There's some longer ones to come up. But there are 20 runners. Thankfully, Boyle Sports offer five places. They are 7-1 the field. That's Azjad and Run to Freedom. 15-2 First Folio. 15-2 Tahib. 8-1 Jumbi. 9 Black Rod. 9 Strike Red. 11 Bar. Robbie Wilders. What a difficult way to kick off the show. Or is it?
Yeah, awfully tough. I'm not sure if it's one I'd necessarily want to be able to bet in because there are so many variables, etc. And I'm not a massive fan of sprint handicaps anyway. But I think the one I thought was quite interesting was Rotier at a double figure price. He was quite unlucky in his last start at Newmarket over this course and distance behind Gale Force Mayor. He actually fared best of the runners held up there, and he finished with sort of a bit of running to give. He's on the same mark of 91. I think it'll go well, but it's not really a bullish shout from me, Bruce.
Rotier is a tentative selection for Robbie. Pordy, is this the sort of race that you rub your hands and think, oh, I can't wait to get stuck into this?
No, absolutely not. it's wide open. I'd struggle to be confident about anything in it. I thought Jumbi might go well. He's consistent. He's had a good run back over course and distance. He won here at the back end last year. Maybe if I was chance something small, Jumbi might be the one.
It doesn't sound like either of you are going to unleash your maximum bet on that race. We'll see if that is also the situation in the 225 at Newmarket, which is the Betfair Daily Rewards Suffolk Handicap over a mile and 1 furlong. Fast Medicine is Boyle Sports Fav at 100-30. Then it's 7-2 Dahabi, 11-2 Move In Time, 7 Notre Bell Bet, 15-2 Forest Falcon, and 9-1 Bar. This also looks tricky, Pordy. Have you solved it for us?
Again, no, nothing strong for me. I thought Move In Time with a £7 claimer was probably interesting, probably hard to kick out of the frame.
Okay, fair enough. Short and sweet, Rob?
Yes, this is a better race, I think. Fast Medicine was really impressive at Nottingham on his last start, winning by 6 lengths. He's the rightful favourite. He's £5. It's under £5 penalty. He's definitely well in. But I was just concerned, you go back to his last run on the Rowley course, he didn't look to handle it too well. He looked a bit unbalanced coming into the dip, and that would be a slight concern. I think the Harvey I quite like for Charlie Appleby. I think it's probably significant that he's still been left the colt. He's not run since his juvenile days, when he was a good 3-1 ruler in the Autumn Stakes. He's off a mark 103 on his handicap debut. He's actually a half-brother to Golden Horn. He's got a serious pedigree. He could be miles better than a mark 103, and he's got a Hardwick Stakes entry I thought was quite interesting. But, I mean, the problem with him, he has broken slowly on a couple of occasions. So, again, I wouldn't be putting maximum faith in, but if he breaks with the field, I could see him being a good bit better than that mark.
Thank you very much, Rob. Let's move on to the 3 o'clock at Newmarket on Saturday now. It's the Betfair Palace House Stakes, a group 3 over 5 furlongs. And another open affair, Twilight Calls, is the favourite with Boyle Sports at 3-1. Then it's Tis Marvellous at 4s. We've got Came From The Dark at 9-2, Hurricane Ivor and good old Arecibo at 8-1. And 10-1 Bar Those. Rob, who is your selection here?
One thing's for sure, I wouldn't want to be taking, I'd want to be taking the favourite on here, Twilight Calls. I mean, I know he was impressive on his return over this course and distance, but I mean, that was in a handicap. He's never run a group race before. And on official figures, he's actually the second lowest rating horse in the entire field. So I thought he was plenty short enough at about 3-1. I've gone from Came for the Dark. I quite liked him last. I remember backing for the King Stand last season after he ran in this race. He was quite unlucky not to win this last season, but he had a bit of a setback. He missed the King Stand. But he came back in rude health. He beat Arecibo in the Coral Charge. That's pretty good form. He obviously likes his course and distance. I think he'll probably get a bit further than five. I think maybe a slightly more test than five would suit. But yeah, I'll go for Came from the Dark. I think I'm struggling to get him out of the frame.
Okay, who are you going to go for here, Pordy?
Similar approach for me, except I just pitched for Tiz Marvelous. I just think I think he's super, super consistent. Very seldom runs a bad race, and I'd struggle to see him out of the four.
Oh. Okay. DJ has opted out of all our early races. Hopefully he will have a Guineas view for us, because that's the next race we're going to talk about. The 2000 Guineas, sponsored, of course, as ever by Kipco, takes place at 3:40 on Saturday. And the brilliant unbeaten Native Trail is favourite at evens. Luxembourg 9-2. These are Boyle Sports prices, of course. Caribus is 5-1. Perfect Power 12s. Point Lonsdale 12. 16-1 Check and Challenge. And 20-1 Bar. Pordy, first of all, Native Trail, what has been the story with him this week? Has he been popular?
Yeah, he's been very strong in the market. But I think myself, bookmakers will stand up to him tomorrow. He looks, to me, he looks very short.
Really? I'm interested to know why.
Well, I just think like that. Horses like Caribus, Luxembourg, Perfect Power, like on their two-year-old form, they have very little to find with him. All unexposed. You like, would you back Native Trail at even money, or would you rather have the field running for you at even money? I'd probably rather the field.
What do you? I mean, someone said to me this week that they could see him trading quite big in running because he does hit a flat spot. What if he's got a weakness? Is it just that he's not clear enough on the figures for your view? You know, where's the negative coming from there?
I think there's no real negative about Native Trail. Yeah, he does hit a little bit of a flat spot. He took a while to get going in Newmarket the last day, whether it was Ring Rust, his first start of the season or not, I don't know. But like, he keeps winning. That's the main thing about him. But like, you could say the same for Luxembourg. Like, I don't think Soft Ground would have been ideal for him in Doncaster. He went and won anyway. You know, Perfect Power has come back, won, which probably wasn't the strongest race. But like, even Caribus, like, they're all horses that are very hard to knock. Like, and you're taking even money about a horse running against all these unexposed types. For me, it looks just very, very short.
What do you think might happen on the day, Pordy? I mean, obviously it's Godolphin. It's not like there's going to be, you know, the connections are going to start having fortunes on. But is this the sort of horse is he more likely to drift or shorten, do you think, from that even money?
I'd say he'll drift.
Really? What could he go off? What's the biggest he could go off at, do you think?
I could see him. I think bookmakers will want to get after him. It's certainly in the morning anyway. So I could see him being like maybe possibly as big as 6-4 over the course of the morning.
Interesting. Right then, David Jennings has just completed his longest ever spell of silence. How did it feel, DJ?
Yeah, I had a whole hour in the car to say nothing.
Jolly good. Right then, you are here in time to give us your Guineas wisdom. Are you for or against Native Trail?
Yeah, I was just listening to Pawdy there. I thought it was quite interesting because this is why he's doing his job and he's very good at it, because I'd be the complete opposite. I'd be kind of thinking to myself, yes, they're all unexposed behind Native Trail in the market, but they have to reach a massive level to get to where he is. Like, he's officially rated £7 better than Corribus and Luxembourg and Perfect Power, and £8 better than Point Lodsdale. And I don't see any reason why he won't be able to run to a mark of 122 here. I just think he was the outstanding juvenile in Europe last season. This season, you might say he does hit a slight flat spot, but the times don't back that up. And I thought in the last furlong of the Craven, he was well on top. Now, obviously, we know the Craven winners have a terrible record in the Guineas, but not too many Native Trails have ran in the Craven. And to me, you're getting even money about a horse at the moment we know is definitely better than the ones below him in the market. Now, they may be, as Pawdy said, they have, you know, untapped potential. But that untapped potential has to turn into a mark of 123. And you're getting even money about that happening. I think it's more likely it's not going to happen than it happening. And I think even money is perfectly fair.
Okay. Being the shambolic moron I am, I've got Pordy's view on whether he's a backer or a layer of native trouble. I didn't actually get your selection, my friend. Sorry about that. Who are you going to go for?
If I was to back one, I'd probably back Luxembourg each way, especially with the extra players.
Oh, might... four places. Yes, sorry. I haven't just noticed that. That's good.
Yeah, so I look, he's probably going to be a better horse over Farder as the season progresses, but I'd still take a chance on him. I just really like him.
Okay, and Robbie Wilder's waiting in the wings. What are you going to do with this fav?
Yeah, I got a bit of stick for saying that I wasn't overly impressed with Native River and the Craven. I mean, he did it as usual, flat spot. I did initially think that he was to, like, the bookmakers overreacted a bit, but now I'm sort of struggling to find one to come in and beat him. The field, I don't know for me if it looks like an outstanding field. I think with that run behind him, I think he's going to be tough to beat, yeah. I'm on Luxembourg a long time ago, but I feel like the vibes have been quite cold about him. And like Paulie says, he's going to be a little bit better over further. So, yeah, I'll stick with Native Trail, but I'm not itching to back him. Unless he drifts quite a bit. If he does get out 6-4, that would be quite interesting because
okay.
I'd say he deserves to be shorter.
There's three at relatively short prices. There's obviously a bundling at long prices, and we've got four places. So we'll want each of yours best long shot, and we'll start with you, Paulie.
Oh, I suppose... if you had to pitch one, you'd probably say Point Lonsdale. It wouldn't be the first time Aidan O'Brien has won a Guineas with his second string.
Okay, Point Lonsdale. DJ, who's your long shot?
Mine will be Iden, actually, from the Varian Yard. I thought he was quite good last time. Beat Mazzacchila in the fielding, and I thought he was well on top of the line. I know that was 1 mile one, but yeah, at around about 25 to one, I thought Iden could run well.
And how about you, Rob?
I'll go for Lucero. I actually do think he looks a little bit big. He can get about 66 to one place. I thought that was quite a good run behind Perfect Power in the green. I know Perfect Power does hold him on form, but he's one I could see sort of hitting the floor. And, you know, at that price, you know, that could be a healthy return.
And DJ, Boundless Ocean, the horse, the unlucky horse who finally got up and won last time. Recouping someone else. That would be funny, wouldn't it? I mean, I've got to say...
What price is he on it?
I've probably backed him in October or September at exactly the same price he is now, 40. So I certainly haven't beaten the book. He's got a little bit to find, hasn't he? But you never know with JSB.
The only thing is, like, Poetic Flair, like, went into the race last year and looked relatively exposed as well. And he found another little bit of improvement or a lot of improvement in that case. So I like the way he pulled out more, but it just looks like he needs a little bit further than a mile, doesn't it?
A little bit further and a little bit faster. Quite a lot faster. Okay, chaps, that's Newmarket. We've got more great Saturday action coming right up.
Are you football crazy? Then Racing Post's new podcast could be just for you. Mark Langdon's Bet Clubs brings all of the best football betting insight from Racing Post's top football tipster. As well as that, Mark will be joined each week by a friend from the betting community to guide listeners through their best bets. Simply search Mark Langdon's Bet Clubs on your podcast app of choice and listen today.
Welcome back to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. It's Bruce Millington, David Jennings, Robbie Wilders and Boyle Sports' Pordy Hassett. Looking ahead to Saturday's other televised action, we've got one race at Thirsk and one at Goodwood supporting the Newmarket Fair. And we'll start with Thirsk's 205, which is the Fitzstairs Thirsk Hunt Cup over a mile. Difficult race. Four places, thank goodness, from Boyle Sports. They go 9-2 Astro King, 7-1 on a session. 7 Trefleur, 8 Cruyff Turn, 8 Lion Tower, 9 Bar. David Jennings, it's been punches down all week. We've got the Guineas. Have you been able to devote any time to this race?
About 6.5 minutes, I'd say, Bruce.
That'll do.
Put
that's
a figure
good.
On it yet.
I bet that's
look
more
at
than
this
most
last
people.
Night.
What
yeah.
you got?
I came up with Cruyff Turn. That's who I came up with. Race at 97. Just come down a pound from his run at Haydock last time. And I just think Timmis Easterby is so many of these type of horses for these type of races. And he's obviously, Cruyff Turn is his number one here. I just go back to that run at York last year, where he won off 95, and it was actually a really good performance because he was really keen and he sweated up beforehand and he still managed to get the job done. He's only £2 higher now. He's the perfect draw in stall 9. I just thought he could go well at a decent price.
Cruyff Turn for DJ. Who for Robbie?
Tries Floors for me. I was on him last
Sorry?
Time. Tries Floors. How would you pronounce it, Bruce?
Well, in French, Trefleur.
Yeah. Yeah, you're probably right, actually. I've been in England too long. Yeah, I think he's Well, he's run off 87 now. I mean, this time last season, he was rated 106. Again, it's not an overly like confident selection, but each way play.
Thank you very much. And Pordy.
I'll stick with Troy Fleury as well.
Beautifully pronounced. Why?
This horse has a bit of class about him. He was rated in the hundreds at one stage. I think he could have been rated a high 106 at one stage. He won a Sandown handicap last year of 91. He's down to, I think, 86 or 87 tomorrow. I just thought, you know, if he's ever going to win another race again, tomorrow could be the day.
Lovely stuff. And also on ITV on Saturdays, the 2:40 at Goodwood. Seven runners go to post for the William Hill Conqueror. Philly Stakes over a mile, and Boyle Sports make Primo Baccio 15-8 Fav. It's then 11-4 Zambac, 5-1 Almo Handesar, 13-2 Bash Kirova, 13-2 Mrs. Herbert, and I'm not even going to bother trying to pronounce the others. Who wins it? Robbie Wilders.
Almo Handesar. Do you know what that means in Arabic, Bruce?
No, go on.
It means the engineer, apparently.
Does it really?
Yeah, it does, yeah. I was intrigued. Mate. I'm trying to improve my knowledge of the language.
Excellent.
I think Primo Baccio is a little bit short on her return here. I mean, obviously, a Group 1 filly, she's actually a better calibre of filly you'd expect to see in a race like this. But I thought, yeah, this Almo Handesa is a big old career best behind Cache in the Nell Gwynn on her return. She has actually postponed his top progeny last season, and it looks like she's improved quite a lot from 2-3. I mean, postponed really improved as an older horse, so I can see this filly just getting better and better. I mean, she's officially rated 103, and she gets a stone from Primo Baccio. She's got the run behind her, and she's a pretty fair each way price for me. So
brilliant,
Almo Handesa.
Great, you taught me a lesson on pronunciation and indeed what it all means. What do you fancy here, Pordy?
Yeah, I. It's hard to get away from Primo Baccio. The farm out run sticks out a mile in the context of this race, but it's a race I probably wouldn't be rushing to have a bet.
Okay. Are you going to rush to have a bet in it, DJ?
Oh, I think you've got to go for potential here in Zambac. She's a daughter of Oasis Dream. She's entered in the Coronation Stakes, and you might say, oh God, she has to reach a massive level to get past Primo Baccio. But that novice stakes that she won at Kempton, she was drawn way out in stall 13, and she missed a break. The second horse, who was Washrack, came out and won next time. The fifth horse, Silver Screen, came out and won next time. And the sixth horse, Senature, came out and won next time as well. So I'd say it was a pretty decent race. She was nicely supported in the market that day as well from double figures. And just the manner of the victory, she was well on top of the line. She's well bred. She's related to some really good horses. And I just think it's interesting. Varian is not one to pitch his horses into races that he doesn't think they can win. And she's come straight here after winning just one race at Kempton. So I think that speaks volumes.
Jolly good. Thank you very much, gents. Right, that's the ITV action done. Now we've got two grade ones at Punchestown on Saturday, the final day of their festival. The first of those takes place at 3:50. It's the Coolmore Kew Gardens Irish EBF Mares Champion Hurdle over 2 miles and 3 furlongs. And Epatant is Boyle Sports 11-10 favourite. 5-1 Marie's Rock. 5 Tell Me Something Girl. 8 Mrs. Milner. 8 Stormy Island. 11-1 Bar. I mean, it's a slight misnomer, Pordy, in that the best mare is obviously Honeysuckle, who's in the Punchestown Champion Hurdle on the Friday. But it's still an interesting race. You 4 against the Fav here.
I think like Marie's Rock, Tell Me Something Girl, and Miss Milner, all them, they're all much of a muchness. I just think probably Epitante is probably just a level above them. The one thing I'd say is there is rain forecast tomorrow, and if the rain did come and it got very soft, you'd probably take on Epitante under them conditions. But as long as the rain stays away, I think she'd be very hard beat.
Okay. DJ, has there been much cut in the ground? I mean, it's obviously been dry as a bone over here. Would it take a lot of rain to start getting it into soft territory?
No, it's given showers tomorrow. And I know that because we were planning George's birthday party and we postponed it because there's heavy showers forecast. So it could get into the ground. The only thing I would say about Epitant is when she won her champion hurdle, it was soft ground. It was proper soft ground. And that was the best performance of her career when she beat Sharjah that day. I think she had an RPR of 163. So I think she'll be okay on the ground. It's obviously the trip would be the worry if it did get deep. But last time with Aintree, I thought that looked like the Epitant that won the champion hurdle back in 2020. The way she travelled, the exuberance. And that was according to figures, that was her best performance since she won the champion hurdle. She had an RPR of 159. If she reaches that level again here, she wins. It's as simple as that. And odds against is very fair.
Okay. What about you, Robbie? Do you agree with the lads? Good to be in the family.
I always look to take on Epitome, but I mean, after that performance in Aintree, I definitely wouldn't be. I mean, that was like she's right back to her best this season now. I mean, she won three grade ones, and for me, these two runs in the spring have been miles better than the two in the winter when she did win those grade ones. She just looked like I wasn't sure if she would get that 2 mile four at Aintree, but she really sort out strongly. That was on good soft. I don't know exactly how much rain is going to get into. If it was good soft again, I'd have absolutely no fears over this 2 mile free trip. If it goes soft, then it'll get interesting.
What about if it's yielding?
If it's yielding, yeah, I'd be fine with that. There's not a massive amount of difference between yielding and soft, is there?
Here we go. I know what's coming.
No, I'm saying what's nothing. Coming?
I think Bruce hates the description yielding. I just think it's a stupid word
that nobody understands. It's completely unnecessary, and British and Irish racing is so deeply entwined now that they should have the same going terms. That's all I'm saying.
I actually do agree with you there.
Thanks, mate.
But I mean, she is £7 clear officially, and yeah, I do agree that the mares in behind aren't amazing. I mean, Mary's Rock won quite a weak mare's hurdle there, I thought. So I think Epitome will get the job done, yeah.
Mrs. Milner was unlucky, but then obviously Tell Me Something Girl was unlucky as well. Okay, chaps, you all agree that unless it absolutely buckets down, Epitome should win that. Who's going to win the 5 o'clock? There may well be some agreement on here. It's the Ballymore Champion 4-year-old hurdle, in which Vauban, the brilliant triumph winner, is 1-2 with Ball Sports. Fildor, the horse he beat in the triumph, is 7-2, and then it's 8-1, Ile Tomps and 20 Bar. DJ, any dangers to the Fav here? I think it was 2.5 lengths between them at Cheltenham, wasn't there?
2.5 lengths, but visually you could tell that there was a light years between Vauban and Fildor, if you ask me. I think 1-2, given that he's beaten the horses he's run against already, is perfectly fair. If you were to offer me a free bet in next year's champion hurdle at the price at the moment, I'd back Vauban.
Mm. Okay, Pordy, are you a Vauban fan?
Yeah, absolutely. I think he'll win, yeah. I suppose a bit like Epitome, if the ground got very, very soft, it might just blunt his speed and bring Fildor into it a little bit more. But providing it stays the way it is, I'd say Vauban will win.
And Robbie, do you complete the Vauban fan club here?
Yeah, I do. I think he's going to win, but I think I might have found one without him. Man of Work, I thought was quite interesting, especially with the rain coming. He absolutely loves soft ground, this horse. But, I mean, his form last time, he beat a filly called Instit, who nearly won a listed race at Punchdown in the week, Willie Mullins. He was giving her a lot of weight there. I think this horse looks slightly underestimated in the market. I mean, on this previous run as well, and Graham, who's one of the better juveniles around, before falling to out, I just feel like he's a kind of horse that could sort of, but I mean, Vauban is obviously the dominant one. So I think I'd probably go for Man of Work without Vauban.
Okay, but if you do fancy a Vauban Epitome double, I don't think the lads are going to put you off. Right then, loads more Saturday and Sunday tips, including the 1,000 guineas, in just a sec.
Members Club is the ultimate resource for racing enthusiasts and punters, brought to you by The Racing Post. Get access to the Racing Post digital newspaper every day from 9 p.m, plus exclusive content including expert tips, analysis, form study tools, and more. Head to racingpost.com and click subscribe to find out more.
Welcome back to the final part of the Racing Post Weekend Postcast with Bruce Millington, David Jennings, Robbie Wilders, and Pordy Hassett from Boyle Sports. Okay, we've done the two grade ones and all the ITV races on Saturday, but there's loads more going on. They're racing at Thirsk, Uttoxeter, at Doncaster, Hexham. We've got the undercards, obviously, from the main meetings as well. Don't give your naps away, but is there anything else the listeners should be backing, David Jennings?
Yeah, I have three for you, but one of them is my nap. They're at Punchestown, so I'll keep my nap. So the first one is in the 2:35. Shady Operator, Mr. Latouche, here on Thursday, and he gets in here and is likely to start favourite, but I fancy a stablemate, Stand Up and Fight, who I thought was really unlucky in the Latouche last year. Almost got rid of Derek O'Connor at a crucial stage. I thought he ran okay at Aintree in the Fox Hunters. He was sixth that day, staying on over an inadequate trip. Schooling has gone well since, and just think there could be a little bit more improvement in him over this bounce course. So Stand Up and Fight in the 2:35 could be a decent price as well. And another one that's going to be a decent price, JP McManus has six in the Colin Quinn BMW Handicap Chase. One of the outsiders of his team will be Alpha Mix, but I think this trip on this ground, with blinkers applied for the first time. I think he's really interesting off a mark of 133. His best performances certainly recently have come at Punchestown. He was just touched off in a handicap chase over 2.6 here back in November. And I thought he actually ran okay for a long way in the Grand National Trial in February as well. You're talking about 12, 14, maybe 16 to 1 alpha mix in the 3.10. But I thought he could run well on this sort of ground.
Thank you very much. What have you got for us, Roberto?
Just one, Bruce. 4.25 at Punchestown, West Cork Wildway. He's a very lightly raced chaser. He's only run three times over fences, but I mean, you can draw a line for his last run. That was behind Bob Ollinger, or the Bob Ollinger who used to be really good in a grade three at Punchestown in January. He's only a few lengths behind Gallard de Manil there. It wasn't a bad run by any means. He makes his handicap debut off the mark of 139. I think this trip could bring out a bit more this 3 miles. He's not been all this distance yet. But when he won his beginner's chase, that was over 2.6 and he beat the bosses Oscar. He looked like he'd benefit from a little bit further there. So, West Cork Wild, we're on his handicap debut for me in the 4.25.
Okay, I hope you heard that, folks. West Cork Wild, there's all sorts of telephonic interruption there. What have you got for us, Pordy?
I'd be going against DJ. I thought Shea, the operator, the fact that he missed the race here yesterday probably leaves him fresh coming into the race on Saturday. I thought he'd be very difficult to beat in the first in Punchestown. I'm not sure about stand up and fight. Is he really in love with the game anymore? He seems to be trailing off his form a little bit. Then I thought in the stay in handicap chase, the 3.07 handicap chase, the 3.10. I thought Regina Jacones with the rain around. She's in with a lovely weight there. I'd say 10.5. If you include Jack Foley's claim, I think she'll be banged there, go very close.
Lovely stuff. Okay, it's time for the Saturday naps.
This will not be beaten.
And we'll start with Pordy Hassett. If you are only having one bet on Saturday, who would it be on?
It would be on Shady Operator.
Shady Operator in the 2.35 at Punchestown. Robbie Wilders?
I'm going to go 5.30 at Punchestown. Cam Prompt. The ground went again. I mean, the rain is a slight concern, but the ground did go against him a bit in the Coral Cup last time when he was fourth to fast or slow. I mean, that was still a pretty good run, but it's the run the time before in the Greatwood Handicap Hurdle. That's worked out so well. I mean, you've got Adagio in there. You've got Mary's Rock was well beaten, come out and won a grade one. Tritonic came out and won a big race over Christmas. Added Glory and Fortune. That's excellent form. And Campron is £3 lower than he was in the Coral Cup. So, I mean, yeah, I could see him going very well. Campron for me.
Righty-ho, and David Jennings.
Oh, I don't believe this. Look, I've been waiting for Get My Drift all week in the 5.30 in the same race that Robbie has picked. I was just kind of... it's a funny one because Campron is one of mine. I was mad at him for the Coral Cup and then the ground went against him. And obviously he's running Ireland and the Irish horse off lower marks and he's off a lower mark of 137. I was kind of hoping he wouldn't be declared because I've been waiting on Get My Drift all week. But I'm going to stay loyal to Get My Drift. His best run came at this meeting last year when he was just touched off by El Barra over 2 miles. In the novice hurdle, that usually works out particularly well. A lot of good horses have won that race over the years. And he had good horses behind him that day. The likes of Fire Attack was only fifth. This season... his run at Leopardstown over Christmas, I thought, was really eye-catching because I know Brideshill won the race, but the second horse that day was Surprise Package. It was only rated 128 at the time. He's £17 higher now. He won the Imperial Cup and he had a £5 claimer on board that day. Get My Drift is only just over a length behind him. I think he's crying out for a step back up to 2.5 miles. I'd say Mace Morris has had this race on his mind for Get My Drift all season. So my nap of the day is against Robbie's, even though I think Robbie's has a big chance. It's Get My Drift in the 5.30.
No props, guys.
Do the forecast, DJ.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Do the forecast or Dutch, then that is exactly what.
Do the forecast in a massive, 25 runner race.
If you did it for 50p each way, it'd pay a nice few quid. You can't do any harm there. Right then, chaps, let's move on to Sunday. It's 1,000 Guineas Day. That takes place at 3:40. Obviously, Kipco sponsor that. 1 mile is the trip. We've got 14 runners and it is an open affair. It's fair to say this race has cut up quite badly. Tenebrism is favourite for Aidan O'Brien. Boyle Sports go 3-1, and thankfully Boyle Sports do offer four places on this as well. 5-1 is Discoveries, 5-1 Tuesday, 11-2 Malavath, 10-1 Zelly, 11 Wild Beauty, and 12-1 and bigger the rest. We'll start with you, Robbie Wilders. Have you got strong fancy?
Oh yeah, I've been a massive Discoveries fan for a long time. I hope she gets the job done. I mean, it's just the pedigree is absolutely unreal. I mean, she's obviously a sister to Alpha Centauri and a half sister to Alpine Star. I mean, she actually achieved more than those two fillies as a juvenile as well. So, I mean, there's absolutely lots to like. Looks like she's going to get the fast ground that she needs. Really impressive her in the Moy Glare last time. And yeah, I think she's going to be very, very hard to keep out of the frame.
How much will you win enough to be able to buy yourself a pair of expensive trainers?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Wait, you're saying I need new trainers, man?
Well, yeah, I've seen those battered old things you wear in the office. No, seriously, you're on for a few quid, are you?
Yeah, I'm on at 16s, yeah.
Oh, so, lovely, good. Okay, Discoveries is Robbie's long-term selection. He's sticking with her. Who are you going to go for, Pordy?
Yeah, I'll row in behind Robbie. I think Discoveries is a big chance as well. I think the only real bad run she had last year was on soft ground. Apart from that, she's been very good. She's probably going to improve as a three-year-old as well, based on pedigree, so she do for me.
Do you think, Pordy, that at the end of the season we'll look back and say this was a brilliant 1,000 guineas, an average one, or an appalling one?
I'd say we'll look back and say it was a good guineas.
Good. Excellent. OK, and David Jennings, who do you like?
Look, Discoveries would be my first choice, Sam. I think, obviously, she's bred to be much better at three than she was at two. I think the juice has got out of her price, though. And the one that I like is actually almost a rank outsider the whole field. I like Amina for Roger Varian and David Egan. Look, she's got a mountain to climb on what she's done so far. But visually, I loved her run in that maiden at Newmarket last time. And she was backed with so much confidence as well. She beat Enshrine, who I'd say is held in really high regard in the Haggis stable. They pulled nicely clear. And I just like what she did. Kind of two out, the gap opened, and Egan went for it. And she burst through it. If you go back and watch her debut at Newmarket as well back last autumn, like, she was the one to take out in the race. She was unlucky. The gap closed at the wrong time. Egan had to wait for a run, and then she flew home. It's interesting here that she's pitched in here on the back of one run this season in that maiden at Newmarket. I'd say they think the world of her, and I can't believe she's 25-1. Just in an open guineas, she could just be one that's kind of come out of the long grass. So I'm going to give her a shot at 25-1. Amina.
There's only one winning favourite in the last 10 years. We've had a 25-1, we've had a 66-1, 14-1. So well worth taking a chance. Anything else you boys fancy at Newmarket or indeed anywhere on Sunday? We'll start with Robbie.
No, nothing for me, Bruce. I think
okay, I'll have quite a quiet day. Anything from you, Pordy?
No, I'm in the same boat.
How about you, DJ?
Yeah, I like Cronell in the Pretty Polly. I know she only just about got the job done last time. Sorry, I'll give you the time, Bruce, because I know
that's
you're about
right,
to get back to me.
225. You carry on.
225. I know she only just about got the job done in that maiden earlier on this month, but I'd say the second horse of Kevin Ryan's is a decent filly as well. And they pulled 8.5 lengths clear of the third. And you know what? She always just looked like she was going to hold on. I'd say she's got loads of ability. The Gosdens have won this race plenty of times before. I think they won it to Gruda in the past as well. So I'd say Cronell is going to win the Pretty Polly at 225, Bruce.
Lads, the pace of that postcast was absolutely frenetic. I hope the horses we back tomorrow go as quickly. Well done to Pordy, well done to DJ, and well done to Robbie. Thank you very much indeed. Thank you to producer Sam. Most of all, thank you for listening. Hope you have a fantastic weekend. Bet responsibly and join Manny and the gang on Monday to look back on Guineas weekend and head to what it means for the rest of the season.